In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favorite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the era to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Niche and Footy with Sam Wykes and Jinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Hello, get that to our PNG listeners and welcome everyone to Nijan Footy Fridays, the home of Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes and with me is my Cook Island Koi Tinidao Arona, who is back from PNG.
Back.
He is back.
Yes.
Looking fresh. Good to have you back, my friend.
It is good to be back. I do miss PNG.
Man, did you get a pies?
What a trip. No, I didn't get a pie.
Oh.
But I did bring your gift.
Really?
For you right here, mate.
Oh, he got me some sunnies, Kay.
Yes, so they gave them out at the game.
Oh, yeah.
What's on the side there? Papua New Guinea flag on them. So
yep.
There you go. Earth's enjoy them for our training session we'll be doing this weekend.
Might have them on during the show.
Papua New Guinea, man, what a place. It's just a great reminder of how passionate they are about rugby league and how much more the game of rugby league is to the people of Papua New Guinea. It's more than just the game over there. And, there's a few highlights that I spent 6 days there, a few cool highlights. One, I was invited to dinner with the PNG Kumuls at the Stanley Hotel there. So after we presented to them with the RLPA, boys were like, hey, come up to dinner. I was like, oh, how good. So they had a barbecue dinner and got to catch up with Jason Demetrio, their head coach.
Is that on the pool deck? Is it upstairs?
Up the top, yep.
Up the top.
And had a really good chat with one of their players, Nixon Put. And we spoke about the game and PNG Chiefs, and he spoke about the Papua New Guinea Hunters when they won the Queensland Cup and they brought the trophy back. Yeah, and it was like a parade for them then. And he was telling me about when the tribes, they still have their conflict, but when the footy's on and when Papua New Guinea are playing, it's 80 minutes of peace. It's like, let's come together, watch the game.
No way.
And you have the conflict after the game. So just cool to hear those stories and how he wants to try and also promote, good things for Papua New Guinea using the platform of the PNG Chiefs. So things like car accidents. He goes, oh, there's too many car accidents. I want this team to promote better safety rules and drive lower the accident rates on the roads and use this platform. I'm like, man, what a guy. You should be in politics. And it's just cool to hear it from someone from the PNG team.
Hey, so you know when you hear stories like that where it's just more than just the game, more than just the results on the scoreboard and trying to build an audience just to watch rugby league. When you hear that, does that sit with you more now that there has to be a team in PNG? Like there's no question about what this can do to a whole country.
Yeah, and 100%. And I don't think we, like everyone in Australia, so people here in Australia, I don't think they understand the impact it could have or it will have when this team does go there. So
you're talking about saving lives.
Saving lives, saving towns, saving villages, saving countries.
Bringing happiness.
The joy that the game brings over there. So another story, I'm there watching the PNG Kumuls versus the Cook Island Etu. And then I just hear this big crowd behind me. So I'm sitting behind the Cook Islands bench, down on the ground, front row seats. And I just hear this big roar behind me. I'm like, what? There hasn't been a try. There hasn't been a break. It's just general play.
And I'm already here in the crowd. Is that what you're thinking?
people are yelling and screaming. I've turned around. And right at the top in the corporate boxes, David Mead and Ezra Mam came walking out. And the whole stadium had looked to those two men and just started screaming at them. And Ezra Mann's waving, David Mead's waving, the Broncos boys. So the Broncos, both the NRL and NRLW, a few players from each team actually brought the trophies back to Papua New Guinea and went to all the villages. And
seen the footage.
Done the a lap of honor around the stadium, and the crowd was going crazy, throwing their bullums, throwing gifts to the. It was Edwin Mann, Ben Hunt, and Adam Reynolds. Those three on the
crazy scenes. The crazy, nah, man, unreal, man. That's the blessing that you get to with the job going over and experience on it. Awesome,
but very grateful.
What have we got on the show today?
Massive show. We have the Pacific Championships are heating up. After this weekend, we'll know exactly who's playing in next week's finals. So
come on, Tonga.
We'll dive into those games this weekend. The Kangaroos and England. They also are going to play their second match in the Ashes tour in England. There is no Sala Tongatuki because she also is preparing to play for the Jillaroos. But what we do have, who we do have, is the great man himself. Introduce himself, Sammy.
Nemanja Kundrani. He is going to chat all things rugby and his new role. He's been officially announced as the Drua development coach, so we'll dive into what that entails and how he's going to go about his business. We'll also have a little look at the Wallabies clash with England and just get his tips on who might win the Ireland and All Blacks game over in Chicago.
And before we get started, though, I just want to give a big shout out to Shawnee.
Oh, she Chantel smashed
Stowers.
It.
She was unreal. I was running on the treadmill in Papua New Guinea listening to
last week's Friday show. Did you really tune in?
And she was a natural. And I message her, I go, hey, you need to chill. I just want to make sure I still got my job when I come back. So
you're safe. I might be out of a job.
she carried. Unreal, so, carried. Great work, Shawnee. And, you know, I'm sure we'll have you back very soon.
Hey, guys. David Mead here, and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
All right, T, let's kick off with rugby league. And I tell you right now, I am sick of hearing that Versace on the Floor song. Like, it is all over my news feed. Every story when I flick to it, Versace on the floor.
Bruno Mars seeing his clicks go up on his. He's probably like, why did my Versace song all of a sudden just
trending Samoa
number one across the Pacific? For those ones, our listeners, who don't know why this song has been trending, is because the Tongan team, for their captain's run, they had a training kit, and it was an acknowledgement to Adam Fanua Blake, who wore the Versace shirt to the Daily M's
last year.
And when the social media team had the team running out and he's doing his clips, he had the Versace song from Bruno Mars on the background. And then when they lost the game, now all the Samoans think it's funny to just post it everywhere.
We'll play. Anyway, let's get to the real stuff here. The footy. Saturday, we have the Pacific Bowl. PNG Kumuls take on the Fiji Butty at 3 p.m. PNG time. This is going to be a cracking game too.
Yeah, mate. The winner of this game will win the Pacific Championships Bowl because there's no final in the bowl. So last week we seen the Cook Island Moana, the women's, they won the bowl. So yeah, the winner out of PNG Kumuls and Fiji Butty this weekend will win that one. Both teams beat the Cook Islands. Now, I thought Fiji probably looked more convincing, but you got to remember as well, Cook Islands had that game. They have also acclimatized, had 2 weeks in Papua New Guinea before they went and played the PNG Kumuls, and I thought they were very competitive, but the Kumuls just being just that little bit, getting that better start, I thought, against the Cook Islands. So Fiji probably have the better form going into this one. The things I like about Papua New Guinea, though, their fullback, Moria, he plays at the Central Queensland Capras. Jeez, he's when I seen him at fullback, I thought, oh, why don't they have Nene McDonald at fullback? I only had to have a couple touches, and I was like, okay.
Okay, I can
now
see.
Now I know why he's there.
Why, yep.
He light on his feet, very quick, very the change of speed, similar to like if you think Reece Walsh, when he catches that ball out the back, always beating that first defender just through his footwork, that's what Moria brings. I think their back five are very strong. That's one of their biggest strengths, the PNG Kumuls. When you look at their back five, they have Nene McDonald. They've got Dudley Dutoy.
Dudley gets in
there.
He's
playing. Yep. Cool story about Dudley. We're watching the game, so the Cook Islands versus PNG, and they're sitting right next to us. Anyway, Dudley's like, I think he was a bit off it because he wasn't playing. But they had this one player where the ball gets to the winger, PNG winger, and then Cook Islands end up scrambling and covering the defensive line, that he's like, man, I would have scored that.
Salty ones.
But yeah, Dudley Dutoy, Zach Labor, Nene McDonald, and Alex Johnston, the flyer for South Sydney Rabbitohs. You look at that back five, you think, damn, there's going to be a damaging, getting their starts of the sets on the front foot. They can all finish. They're very strong with the ball in hand. They're two centers and Labor and McDonald. But I think the key with Papua New Guinea is Lachlan Lamb. He's their general. He's the one, if they do have go forward, he'll be able to create those opportunities. And we seen last week when they played Cook Islands, how he put Rhys Martin in that nice hole, the one-on-one that Rhys Martin went through and scored that try. So big game, a big job for the Fiji Butty to stop this back five. And just a quick mention to Jack DeBullen, who's like their glue man, their workhorse in the middle that shuts everything down in defense. But they go off the bench that makes the whole crowd erupt and go crazy. Guess who that is? Son of a legend, Marcus Bai.
Cooper Bai.
They all scream, Cooper, Cooper, Cooper. And he is huge. He's only 18 years old. Another quick story, when I was over there, I was in the cafe and I just see this big PNG man just like looking at me. I'm like, man, I'm pretty sure that's Marcus Bai. And he could see me admiring him or just looking at him. He goes, hello. I'm Marcus. And I'm like, oh, I'm T. Nice to meet you, bro. Him and his family were there to watch Cooper. And I think he's a real star of the future. So two cool players, Jack DeBullen and Cooper Bai, to look out for.
What about on the Fijian side of things? We know Jethro Rinakama, he will have a shoulder reconstruction. So he'll be out for 3 to 6 months, depending on how long it takes him to recover from that one. So he'll be missing. And when you think about these two teams, there's speed, athleticism, there's granite, there's cement, there's everything. Like from a Fijian point of view, when you talked about their strengths of PNG,
yep.
Like what do they need to do well in this game?
Well, I mentioned Moria at fullback for the Kumuls. Now, you just flick over to the other side, the Fiji Butty, you've got Jareem Buller. And he was insane against the Cook Islands. Did he score four tries?
I think it might have been three tries in the
first quarter of the game.
Yeah. And then he scored his fourth later on.
But he was unreal. And when he's in any team, he's great. But when he's in a Fiji Butty team, when he's representing his own family, his own bloodline, he's unreal. So Jareem Buller, you've also got Taruva there, Sunia Taruva there at the wing spot, and Semi Valame. So yes, they are missing a couple key players. I think Jenko, he also got injured, but their strength, I believe, is their four pack. Tui Kamitha and Caleb Navale, I think them two need to have big games. But you look at their back rowers in Tane Milne and Kitione Katonga. Kitione was the one who killed it for the Eels before getting injured this year. And Tane Milne, he's a defensively very strong, shuts things down, but also with the ball in hand, similar to Nene McDonald, can get a nice offload away. So be prepared to see. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a lot of second phase plays from the Fiji Butty just to try and erupt some of that good defensive stuff that PNG bring. But yeah, I think this one's going to come down to discipline, errors. Yeah, all the, I know it seems like ABC Rugby League, but it is a simple game when you think about it.
Some of these two teams can play high risk at times, especially Fiji, because that's their natural DNA to move the football and get those offloads away. In conditions like it is in PNG, how important is like the completion, like making sure that you're up around those 90-95% completion rates?
Yeah, I think it's important. When you look at the Cook Islands last week, they dropped the ball on their first set. And then immediately you're just releasing a lot of pressure, and then all of a sudden the pressure's on you. You're defending your own line. The more tackles you do, the more tired you get. Now you add in the heat, the humidity, and then sometimes the wind in PNG, under fatigue, that's where points are conceded. So holding the ball, getting through your sets, and playing down the other end is the key to this game. So I think they're both very evenly matched. Fiji coming in with form, but also the Kumuls hard to beat at home.
Oh, at home. I can't see them getting beaten on home soil with that crowd and the atmosphere. But it's going to be a cracking game. Looking forward to it.
And then we'll shift over to the Pacific Championships Cup in the men's game. Kiwis play the Tonga 13. Now, Tonga, if they want to play and get some revenge on the Tor Samoa next week in the finals, They have to beat the New Zealand Kiwis by 17 points this week.
Chances?
Can they do
chances?
It, Sammy? Can they do
I'm
it?
I'm asking you, my rugby league expert. Chances?
I think it's a tough ask, but I think if the Red Sea can turn up to New Zealand, that's where I think they'll be able to generate or bring in this energy from the crowd that may be able to get the job done and win by 17. Winning alone is going to be hard, but winning by 17, that's going to be the challenge. Yeah. And do they go into the mindset of like, let's try and win by 17 or let's just try and win and then see how much we win by? So there's two differences.
Okay. I'm almost thinking you've just got to go in that of, oh, we're going to put them to the sword. We're going to win by 50. Like, you know what I mean? We're just scoring with tries. We're going through them because you can't play conservative and just think a win's just not enough.
Well, the review, what did you do on the review on Monday? Did you speak about when I see Tonga versus Tor Samoa, Samoa went after him. Samoa just
from
shut
the get-go.
The gate from like their line speed. Francis Molo, Junior Polo, like the way that they were, and Payne Haas, the way that they were flying off the line and shutting those first few tackles. Like, never really do you see.
They shell shocked them.
Those outside backs get put on their back or get driven back. But they shut the momentum down. Now, they're going to have to, I think, when you look at the Tonga, I'll start with Tonga. Their pack will need to step up, but I think their back five will need to get them on the front foot first.
Yeah, that's what we spoke about. The back five not being able to have the room, and it was almost like single bullets just trying to get them that platform for their forwards to be able to try and get some type of momentum off some quick play the balls, but it wasn't happening. And we just said that Samoa were fantastic with adding that physicality with finesse as well. Like that interchange of passing between Junior Polo into Terrell May into Payne Haas scoring, like that was the difference. And I remember speaking to you before Pac Champ started, like, what would be Junior's role? Is he just going to be laying a platform, or do you think he's going to play that Isaiah Yeo role? And the first week against New Zealand, it was pretty much setting a platform. This game against Tonga, man, his ability just to stand and get Jerome on the outside a little bit more, like, that was the difference. I just think they had just more layers to their attack compared to Tonga.
I think, too, though, Tor Samoa had the momentum. They had the front foot. They had quick play of the balls. They were attacking the Tongan side, not the Tonga side attacking Samoa. So they were going at them, so it gave time for those plays to happen, whereas if Tonga was coming forward and shutting them down,
they've got no option, just to take it.
They have to go like take those hit-ups and just get down and up. But because they won that pressure battle, the momentum allowed those combinations where the forwards can pass on the try line, remember, and go tip, 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 try.
I thought that was a difference. And for Tonga for this week, when you look at it, T, like I know Isaiah Yongi, like they're still working out that combination with Katoa there. He is a special talent though. Like he is so strong and tough to handle, but it's just that ability to, use the players around him as well. How much of an influence will Jason Tamalolo have in this game to be able to help some of those younger guys that probably wouldn't have known how to get out of trouble when the pressure was on?
Well, that's going to be massive. Jason Tamalolo, along with Adam Fanua-Blake and Felice Kafutsi, them starting in the middle, they have to set the platform to go forward first with their back five, because that then unlocks Isaiah Katoa and Iongi. Like, they can't do much on the back foot. So if they get them going forward, they get the momentum, then they unlock their halves to be able to create opportunities. And I also think their bench, them young boys off the bench, Lekahala Sima and Dimitri Vaimonga and Moiaki Fotuweka, those three, along with Sonny Luke, they'll be able to inject. If they've got that front four, if they can hold on to that momentum for the first quarter, first half, those young boys coming off the bench will be able to inject and add that extra speed to the Tongan team. So, big game for
Tonga. We also see Paul Alamotti as well coming to the centres.
He's going to be huge for them.
He'll be big for them.
Just to go forward and also the big moments. He's made for those big moments. So, big one for Tonga. We've also, for the New Zealand Kiwis, I think when you look at the Bash brothers, Moses Leota, James Fisher-Harris, and Joseph Taupine, especially Yeah, Joseph Tapine, the way that he played that first game against Samoa, he carried. He was solid. He was everywhere defensively as well. And now Fahu White, Aaron Clark off the bench. They'll add Nafau. I thought he had one of his best games in a Kiwi jersey when he come on. And I have to say a big congratulations to the Cook Islander, Xavier Willison, making his Kiwis debut. Yeah, it's always an... Unfortunately, not playing for the Cook Islands, but it's such an honour to be able to see these boys play in the Kiwis jersey and represent also the Cook Islands with his 15 stars on his neck. But yeah, looking forward to watching.
Where do you see this game won and lost, T? Not necessarily the team, but just like...
Yeah, the go forward. I think whoever wins that go forward defensively, getting the line speed, whoever's more aggressive in line speed to stop the go forward. And then those teams that do win momentum, they get to unlock Isaiah Katoa. If it's Tonga, Dylan Brown for the Kiwis to make those big moments and transfer into tries.
It is going to be a blockbuster, and hopefully the Sea of Red get the hymns going, they got the prayers going, and they can get our team over the line with a 50-point win so they can... meet Samoa in the final, hopefully.
Yeah,
hopefully.
We'll see. In the girls, we have the PNG Orchids. They are playing Tonga 13, 1 p.m. Papua New Guinea time. Ese Banu has been sidelined with a leg injury. And centre Rauna Ruruki Hosea with prop Gloria Kaupa and back rower Maya Mala come into the starting side. Kaupa and Ruruki Hosea will both get their first caps for the PNG Orchids. So congratulations to them women and the Tonga 13, Sammy.
Yeah, with Tonga, but there's one change. Bayer comes onto the bench for her second test appearance after debuting against Fetu Samoa last year in the Pacific Champs. And Keilani Tavita makes way. Fun fact about Keilani, she's from the Brisbane area. She actually played sevens for our New South Wales Tonga team at the Global Youth Sevens. She wasn't initially part of that team, but we were short on numbers. And then one of the family members, hey, they go, there's a gun up in Brisbane, my cousin. She's ready to go. She can jump on a plane now. And they're like, okay, who is she? Said it was Keilani. Jumps on, absolutely brains it at the Global Youth Sevens. And I was like, she is going to be a superstar in the making. And here she is playing for Tonga for the very first time, like in this Pac Champs.
Yeah, unfortunately, I see the PNG Orchids struggling in this one. I think they've been struggling the last couple games, and yeah, hopefully they can turn things around. But I think Tonga 13, the girls there, they'll be disappointed with their loss against the Cook Islands, and they'll want to turn things around. They'll have an extra week in PNG, so that's 2 weeks. They'll climatise, they'll get to learn their lessons from the game against the Cook Islands, and I think they'll be too strong for the Orchids in this one.
I think so as well. And what surprised me about the Tongan girls last week was their kicking game, scoring a couple of really good tries from their kicking game. So there's a different layer to their attack.
Yeah, nice little grubber there for a try.
So I guess, yeah, for the Orchids, making sure that they're switched on in all areas of the game. But hopefully it's a close one, and it's going to be another fantastic match over in Port Moresby.
And then we have the Kiwi Ferns playing the Jillaroos before the this one's before Kiwis versus Tonga, 12:35 p.m. Papua New Guinea time. The Kiwi Ferns, they have winger Leanne Tufunga and forward Shanice Monshaw. They have been joined to the starting 17. So Monshaw is on debut. So congratulations to Shanice.
Yeah, we've got the Jillaroos, mate. Dominant performance against Fetu Samoa. We were talking to Shawnee and I was like, is this the OG's changing of the guard coming up against Fetu? Like with the youngins coming through? And I thought, is this the game to do it? Yeah, still a bit of time there. Still a bit of time to go before they give up their positions of like Yazzy Clydesdale and Tiana and those type of players.
Just look very clinical, very just looked at levels above the Fetu Samoa on that game. And yeah, they just won the ruck and then support the push, even just like some of those tries, like 60, 70, 80 meter tries.
What you said around when you get to play on the front foot in rugby league, where you get to do try a little bit more with their shape, I just thought with the Jillaroos, there was Liz Koenig in like a pot of three.
Yeah.
And she would receive it in the middle. There was options to tip, play at the back, dummy go herself. I just felt like the layers of their game was just far superior, and I feel like this Kiwi Ferns game, even though it's usually like one of those grudge matches, I just thought the Gillaroos just showed too much class, and I think they'll get the job done here.
Salatonga Tuki also joining the, making her first appearance in this year's PAC Champs. Do you reckon that was a tactical move from the coach not to play Salah against Fetu Samoa? And just to say, hold back, you'll be all right. We'll,
I reckon Salah would have been dirty not playing. Yeah, she wants to play every game. She's a competitor, but look, she gets unleashed this game, and we'll see how she goes, because she always sets a platform. Looking forward to her being unleashed.
And then the final one to cover in rugby league, the Ashes Tour. Australia play England in the second game. So Australia winning the first one and pretty convincingly. I thought, man, what's the way the Reece Walsh has been playing and the form that he's in, was unreal against that game. But minimal changes to the Australian team. Captain Isaiah Yeo is out due to HIA. Harry Grant will be honoured with skipper, and Lindsay Smith will replace Yeo's spot.
Now, you reckon if they win this quite easy, 3-0 in the Ashes, should they come back and play against the winner of the PAC champ? Say if it was just to
mate, with my RL pair hat on, that's definitely not happening, because these boys need to have a rest.
They need a rest. Yeah, we want to see more games
year next year with NRL, Vegas as well, and then at the end of the season, we have the World Cup.
And then it's going to go global, apparently. Peter Volandis wants to play everywhere in round one. So rugby league just doesn't stop. But is that all we have time for, rugby league?
Yes, that's us done, Sammy. Remember, you can hear every game of the Pacific Champs and the Ashes on ABC Radio Australia.
Unreal T, it's good to have you back in the saddle. And we're going to go over to Fiji with Nems, and we're just going to do all of our rugby union chat with the big man.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Interception by Big Nemani.
With Nemani Kurindrani.
Yes, it's time to chat all things Rugby Union with our former Flying Fijian and now coach of the Fijian Drua Development Squad, Nemani Kurindrani. Nems, it's been a while since we've spoken to you, but mate, 2 weeks out of the saddle and you've already got another hat on, another invoice, another job, another title. How good, my friend? How are you?
Oh, mate, I'm good, boys. First of all, I missed you. So I kind of 2 weeks felt like a long time. I had my wife going to me last two Fridays. Don't you have ABC this today? This is on Friday. I said, no, they actually brushed me. I was like, what?
We can only get you on when the footy's on, apparently. Yeah. I wanted you on every single time. But, hey, look, when you take all the budget, when you and T take all the budget, it's very hard, very hard.
It's funny because I forgot to tell her that it was a joke, so she still thinks that I'm surprised.
Well, make sure you go tell Kim now that you're all good, all right? But anyway, let's get straight into it, man. Like, new title, mate, how long has this been in the works for, and what is your actual role there with the Drua?
Yeah, it's funny. So this is actually my first official interview as a Drua development coach. I don't know if it's an interview or part and parcel.
We'll call it that.
Boys, honestly, you know, it's been working, and it's been in the pipeline for a year now. And so, I mean, we've had our talks and, you know, we've had our catch-ups during the year and commentary on how much of a goal of mine was to coach in some capacity. And, the development, I think being a development coach here is, it's for me, I am just so, I'm so excited to rip in. I've been given a sort of a clean sheet to do what I want to do and help develop these players the way I want to do it, and a few plans that I've got that how I'm going to go about it. So, it's been in the works for a while. There's a few times there where it's sort of, model never happened, but I'm so thankful to the man upstairs for giving me this opportunity, because it's something I've always wanted to do, and to be able to give a professional coaching role this early in my coaching career. I'm only 37, so I'm still fairly young for a coach, so to speak. Is something that I'm very grateful of, and hopefully it leads to something. You've got to start somewhere, right? And hopefully one day I can progress through. But, yeah, boys, it's to be here on the island. And I guess I'm going to probably go deep here. I think I feel in the last few years since retiring, I probably didn't have a sense of where I was going and what I was doing. And I think this is probably the first time since retiring from rugby that I've got a sense of purpose. And I hope to fulfill that. And, it's a few happy tears the last few nights. coming in and being able to be in this environment again, you know, in this professional environment. Looks different now. It's not back in the days where we used to just rock up, train, go home, get fed. Now you're actually, you know, seeing it, being on the other side and seeing how things prep and how players, you know, which players need what, man, it's crazy, you know. And I just look back on my career in the last few years and I thought, Jesus, the coaches I had when they had these sort of meetings were like, mate, we've got to get rid of them because he ain't going to be running free things and stuff. So, but yeah, boys, it's honestly, yeah, it's been an emotional but exciting week.
How good. Feels like, you know, since you've moved to Fiji, everything's just fallen into place, and what an opportunity to give back to the country, and also, you know, there is responsibility as a head coach of a development drawer team. It's, yeah, great opportunity. With coaching, yeah, I know we know about your playing career and, you know, all the success you've had there. Have you done much coaching since you've retired?
Yeah, so I took on a coaching role, and I knew when this came up a year ago in conversations, I took on a coaching role down in Melbourne with Box Hill Rugby Club. So shout out to Box Hill who took me on as a first grade assistant coach. I think the one thing that obviously it's different from the professional level, one thing it really taught me was in Melbourne, sometimes you'll have five people come up to training, sometimes you won't have any, and our team were made up of predominantly Fijians. So it was kind of a good stepping stone to get me to here. But, yeah, you know, to have that experience, just to have my foot in the door and get around, like you said, it's something great. Like you said, playing and coaching is two different things. You know, playing, coaching, you can't control what you do on the field now. It's now learning how to deliver the messages. And, you know, and I've got a long way to go. I've got years of work to do, but what excites me is that I get to implement some of the values that I went along the way in my rugby career, you know, and I see it from a different perspective now, how I got treated when I was a player, you know, particularly being big, being this, okay, now it's changed my perspective on how I'm going to treat the player individually. So, yeah, it's, you know, being able to coach this year. Yes, it's I mean, I wouldn't say it's the best rugby competition, but in Australia, but in saying that, it's a competition and it's coaching, and that set me up for here. And I'm around the full-time coach, the top squad coaches, and learning from them every day. So, you know, it's only going to get better, and yeah, it's going to be good.
Yeah, just on that, Nems, you've been a part of a fair few like development squad, you know, many people probably wouldn't have known that you were part of the Western Force one as a younger teenager, the Waratahs. Like, when you talk about those moments, how you were treated or things that you would have learned, like, what, from your experience, what do you want to implement, like, into this development team that sort of that was probably missing in your time, and then some of the things where you know, oh, this is what I actually needed in those development teams that are 100% going into what I'm going to coach for the Drawer Boys.
I guess for me, the biggest thing is setting standards and setting goals for my squad. You know, I want the best out of them, but then, you know, what we've got to realise, and it happened to me too when I was coming into it, I want to get to know my players. I want to know what makes them tick. What's going on at home? Now, I'm not here to be their fathers or their mothers, but I want to know what makes them tick. And if that means I've got to spend a few extra hours getting to know them on a personal level, then so be it. Because one thing I probably didn't have that was, well, just numbers, right? It's just come in, do your thing, you're happy to be here now. Now, you've got to realise too, Fiji professional rugby is only new. So, you know, a lot of these guys are only just turned professional. They don't know. They've come into money. They've come into all sorts of things that what we are used to in Australia. So, you know, part of my, I won't say battle, but one of the hurdles that I've got to try and overcome is also teach these guys how to be a professional. Because, you know, particularly development, professional sports only been here on the island for 4 years or 5 years. So the biggest thing for me is just getting to know my players, getting to know them on the outside. Because I'll tell you what, some of the best teams that I played, the teams that I played in where I got the best out of me was the coaches didn't care that I played rugby. Like, they didn't care that I was a good rugby player. What they cared about was what was going on off the field. And the moment they got that, it could be as simple as, how's your wife or how's your family? You know, so stuff like that, saying the right words. And when they did that, like, I could just, like you said, Crusaders, Montpellier, Leicester, Japan, these coaches really got to know me. And this is what I want to try and bring here. is yes, there's tough love, but there's also you've got to nurture these guys coming through because, again, these standards that we do now are going to what's going to take us forward and hopefully, you know, take it to the top squad.
Now, being the head coach of a development team in the Drua, you're hopefully going to build these young men into one day having the opportunity to play for the first team in the Fijian Drua. So, given that, have you had any discussions with the head coach, Glenn Jackson, head coach of Fijian Drua, and aligned yourself with the system that they, you know, what they do at the top level so that it can filter down and you can prepare these young boys for when they get their opportunities?
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely. It's funny, so we had a conversation like yesterday with me and Jacko about how we wanted to run things. And obviously the top squad is going to have their alignment. So here, the academy or the development guys will train with the top squad during pre-season and then obviously into the season just because of numbers. But, you know, so there's values and stuff that they've gonna that they've set up there, which will come out. But, you know, what one thing that's really that I want to align with my players is, like, yes, they've got theirs, but then we have ours that ties in with theirs, if that makes sense. So ultimately I'm preparing these guys. We're a team within the team, and that's my sort of motto that I'm going with this year is that we're a team within the team. So, you know, to earn to get up to that spot, you've got to get through what, you know, what we need to do here. And that means, you know, sending the guys out for work once a week, you know, get them to get some life experiences and stuff like that. So for me, my biggest goal, if I can turn these guys, like I said, you've got to be a good rugby player to come here, right? For me, it's, how can I make these guys, how can I turn these boys into great men, great Drua men, both on and off the field? How can I make them become, if rugby doesn't turn out, can they learn the stuff that I've taught them and take it into the real world? You know what I mean? So there's a lot of work and there's a lot of moving parts. And then again, training with it, you know, I don't want them to think that training with a top squad is you've made it, because you haven't really, you know? So
yeah.
I really want that onus is that, you know, you've got to work really hard. And that's the onus, is working hard and turning these guys into great men, great Drua men that can go out and do anything if it's not rugby.
Yeah, building good men and, you know, building lifestyle habits and then, you know, being successful on the field is a byproduct of that. So yep. You know, things like being on time, the right nutrition, being respectful in the public, all those kind of things that, yeah, I'm sure you'll pass on. But for someone who doesn't watch much rugby union, is there a competition that you guys play in, the academy team?
Unfortunately, we don't. We don't have academy. So what happens is we've got a few development games next year. A few club sides are going to be coming over to Australia. To Fiji from Australia. So there's a club side in Brisbane called GPS in Ashgrove. They've got two games next. So we've got two games, and then from there, I'll then sit down with a head coach and, you know, we'll see where we can get them game time, whether we ship them abroad to shoot Shield or, you know, Australia or New Zealand. So, you know, they're the sort of stuff. It's just trying to give these guys. I don't want them to be professional trainers. You know, obviously there's going to be players that are going to play professionals. They're going to play Super Rugby, and that's good. And that's what you want. But then there'll be players where they'll be sort of in and around that they could probably go and earn, go and play, get some minutes playing the Shoot Shield or in Brisbane or in New Zealand. So that's for me, that's probably the headache that I've got, but I think it's a good headache to have.
And what age are these players?
No, men, so they'll be 20s, 23, 24, 20s. You know, we've got obviously...
So there's no like a teenage sort of thing, like from 14, 15, like this?
No.
So it's like the extended squad kind of...
Yeah, the extended squad. The academy, they're different. Under 16s, I think they just had one just recently, and that sort of falls under our Drua Foundation. So there's two different... I'm in charge of the development squad.
Yeah.
Oh, so how many will be involved in that squad? Like, are they actually part of the extended squad, or are you actually just having these guys looking at them?
No, they're part of it. So they'll train with us. So I've probably got about 14 guys, 14, 15 guys. So enough to make a team. And then some guys will obviously play super. A lot of those guys will do everything. There's kind of like the wider training.
Yep.
But yeah, but I'll sort of monitor them as well from my end and. So we'll get them away.
Would this be the first time the Drua's implemented like this wider training squad as part of their pathways?
Yes, they've always had it, but it just probably wasn't done properly. Having now me, I've kind of got, like I said, a clean page. So we will definitely have a proper development squad going forward where I'm with them, looking after them. We've got, you know, we've got a house for them now. We've got guys coming in. We've got a few guys coming in from overseas that are joining the development. So now we've got to draw a house. It's called the clubhouse, where they'll go play, they'll go live, eat, sleep, and then they'll train. So the setup we've got has been really good. It's been a lot of work in progress, a lot of passes from the finance department. But, you know, it's been good. And I've tried to push a few things as well to try and make it work. And, yeah, probably giving Beto a bit of a headache. Hey, this guy's been here 25 minutes.
That's why it took a year for it to get over the line, because you wanted too many zeros in the contract. But, you know, when it comes to – obviously, you're a big deal in Fiji. Let's not sugarcoat it. You know, you have a status in the game over there where you're adored and loved, and, mate, you can't walk 10 metres without it taking you 2 hours. Yeah, for yourself as a coach, how do the players – you know, react to you as being a coach, but just not a player that's a superstar of the game? Like, for you to deliver those messages, are they looking at you in the eye? Are they sort of shy to talk to you and come to you? Or, like, do they don't really care anymore because you're past it?
Yeah, no, a bit of both. No, I think it's a bit of both. I think also, too, a lot of these guys I didn't actually play with. Obviously, the older guys are here. Yeah, we've got our joke, but I've actually had coffees with them, like your Frank Lomanis, Messon Dongays, and guys that I played with, right? So, you know, I've told them my intentions and how I want to go about things. And so guys like them, yeah, we can joke, but there's always that they know that I'm coached, whereas the other guys are a bit younger. So, yes, there's that mutual respect. It's, for me, it's still getting used to, you know, because I was that rugby player, I'm a commentator, you know, now being the coach. So for me, I think it's funny, so I've been doing a lot of thinking how I'm going to do it, because, you know, with us Fijians, we're so laid back and we joke a lot. I've just got to be, you know, myself and be stern in what I do. But also, too, there's that element of talking, and then there's an element of actually backing it up and doing the work. So, you know, I've got my work cut out as well, and I've got to earn the respect of these guys, like anything, starting off in any industry. And by doing that, you know, the only way I know is through hard work and through action. But, yeah, it's been a bit of a weird sort of mix the last few, you know, being you're a coach, but hold on, you're a commentator. And, yeah, so it's been funny. Everyone's still asking, am I still commentating next year?
Well, are you still commentating? May as well get another exclusive.
So I've tried to ask Mark Evans if the commentary can come under the development department, so that I can overlook the salaries that some of our commentators are getting. I think.
So do I have a job next year, Nebs?
Yeah. So we'll have an interview.
That again. That's why I asked that question, because I just wanted to check if you're going to be involved in that type of stuff as well, and see what happens along the way. But we love your work. We are looking forward to seeing what products come out of your system. And then finally, as a coach, are you going to be one that's on the grass getting in amongst it, or are you going to be the Wayne Bennett behind the goalpost and just observing?
Yeah, no, I haven't looked too ahead of that. I think because I've just started, I'll be that guy that gets running around getting the water bottles and the cones. So I'd love to eventually be behind the post. But, yeah, I've got Tim Sampson, who's the assistant coach, saying, Ned, you're going to do this, going to do that. So that's going to involve a lot of running. I've actually started training this week. So I walk to training to work. It's about 3K. So I'm down sort of 4 kilos. Because I know preseason's coming, and yes, we're not training, but this is Fiji, and I walk and I sweat, so it'll be good.
Nah, love it, bro, love it. Wish you all the best with it. You're going to absolutely smash it. But let's move over to the Wallabies in England game. This is a massive, massive one. Last year, the Wallabies got the job done at Twickenham. It was Joseph Suaalii's debut game, and he'll be back here for the second time playing against England. Alan Alatoa on the bench. We've got Luke Hahn on the bench as well. Mate, this is going to be a big one for England. Like, how do you think the response will be and the motivation for England going into a test match this time around when they lost last year?
Yeah, that'll be good. They'll be up for it. I know someone like Steve Borthwick, who coached me at Leicester, he would be eye-marking this game. There'd be a lot of things said. I wouldn't be surprised if he brings up, you know, things from back in the 1800s of convicts and all this and that. He's very big on that hyping. So, you know, and then plus, there's only 12 months ago that they got pumped at home. Well, no, they got beaten, and I thought convincingly. So, you know, but for me, it's going to be a big game. I really think the Wallabies can go out and do something special here. What really impresses me there is the centre pairing, Hunter Paisami and Suali'i in the centres. Now, that for me, has got to be one of the best centre combinations we've seen in a while. I can't wait to see that. But then also, you know, Rob Valentini is starting, you know, expect him to get some hit-ups and get him over the line. But for me, it's like the guys off the bench, guys like Alan Alalatoa, Lucan Salakai Lotto, Filippo Dongunu, like these guys could be starting anyway. So for they have that impact or finishes, as they say in today's world, to come on in the, you know, in the last 20, 30 minutes, I think it's going to be vitally important for them. Someone like Alalatoa, experience. He's a Wallaby captain in the past. You'll look to see him drive standards when he comes on. But yeah, I think it's a really good. I think it's a really. It's going to be a really good game. England too. They've got some big names there, obviously Pollock and Freddie Stewart, our fullback, Slade. So it's going to be a good game. But I think if the centre combination is firing, it's going to be could be an Australian win.
When you talk about that centre pairing with Hunter being at 12, obviously Leniki Tau wasn't released from Exeter to be able to join the Wallabies. For him being at 12 and Joseph at 13, like, what are you seeing as like their biggest strength, the attack or their defence? Because Hunter, man, he's got some shoulders on him that can whack hard.
I think they're evenly balanced. I think with Hunter can hit at 12, and if he shuts them off, and if he doesn't, you've still got his versatility from league, you know, from his league background that he can, you know, cover that defence. But certainly for me in attack, I think if he get the ball into Soili'i's hands, play Sami going, getting over the gain line, then get Suali'i with the ball in hand with that offload. We saw it last year. We've seen it during the season. I think that'll come to light. But also, too, don't be surprised if you see the little chip from, you know, from 10 or 9 in that back with someone like Suali'i. Rather than letting it bounce, you want to get it in the air. Someone like Suali'i and his, you know, Israel Folau sort of esque jumping in the air. They're gonna have a good day, but I just think attack, defence, they're evenly balanced.
Who are you tipping in this one?
Wallabies. I think Wallabies just by 3.
Oh, I don't know, man. I reckon England's going to target Tane Edmund. They're 10. Try and rattle the cage a bit there and go through that channel with some big men, but we'll see what happens. New Zealand versus Ireland. How are you seeing this one? This one's played in Chicago, sold out already.
Yeah, I think New Zealand will win this. I haven't looked much into it, but I just know they're going to want to start their tour on a high. They've lost in Chicago before to Ireland, so they're not going to want a repeat of that. And I just think they've been preparing well. I saw some of their social media stuff, doing a lot of out and about in Chicago and stuff.
The rock stars, aren't they? With the rock stars. Artie Savier and the boys.
Artie and his Meta glasses. I just think they'll be up for it, and it'll be a good game for them. I think it'll be pumped. I think All Blacks will win, even though it'll be sort of an Irish sort of support base.
Support base here over there in Chicago. Well, it's been a pleasure to check in with you again after a couple of weeks off. Looking forward to hearing more about it next week, as well as previewing the Flying Fijians, because they take on England next week. So make sure you've done your notes and put your coaching hat on for that one, so we can get some of the inner chats happening there.
I look forward to it.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
Yes, our knockout tipping comp, where we will pick teams and the loser at the end of the year, or in a couple of weeks, has to buy the winner a jersey of their choice, and the scores.
I can tell you, that's why you're slowing down with the way you're
I'm reading the scores here.
And you're reading the score first 46. Before you're actually giving any information about what our knockout tipping competition is.
When we're talking to NEMS, I was like, I actually flicked to the back page and go, what's the score? And I was like, what?
I caught up, mate. I had a good couple of weeks.
No, Shawnee had 3 on the weekend.
Yeah, but I was up by a fair bit because of my try scorers.
Oh, so were you up further before this?
Before this.
What was the gap?
It was 45. 41.
Oh, so we got 2 back. Yeah. Okay, thanks, Shawnee.
Yeah, she actually did well. The Cook Islands, she wasn't sure.
Yeah, I know, but she just went.
She went with it because...
So did she get two or three? No, she would have got...
Three.
Three. And yeah. You got one.
I got one.
Okay.
Which one did I get? Can't even remember. But anyway, I'm still in front. That's
so I should be on 45 then.
No, sorry. She got the... Just leave the score as is.
I should be on 45.
No. It's...
You said 45, 40, 41. 41. Yeah, and I got three. You got one. So you got 46 and I got...
44. You do the math.
Okay.
3 plus 1 is so, 4.
This week... Let's go off the mitts.
That's why I can't think straight.
PNG Kumus, Fiji Bati. I think PNG are going to be too strong for Fiji. Ooh. You also think the same thing.
Yeah, at home. Not too strong. I just think they might win, but I'm happy to go the Bati here. If you want to go
this
to the
Kumus. That's how I go. Head to head, plus 30, plus 30. I'll go Kumus. You go Fiji.
Head to head?
Head to head.
Or 4 plus 4.
Nah, that's.
Nah, I'm just throwing it
I'll
out
there. I'll give you a.
Just throwing it out there.
+2. That's a big.
Yeah,
it was actually a draw last year.
Was it? Nah, let's go head to head. We'll go head to head. Leave it there. Yeah, I'll go Fiji.
Oof. Oh, man, that was going to be good too. the Kiwis versus Tonga.
Tonga all day.
Tonga all day.
Tonga all day.
Are they going to make the final? That's 17.
Tonga all day.
That's a huge gap,
man.
Well, if you went head-to-head and I go head-to-head, well, let's keep it head-to-head.
We'll go head-to-head with the hope of being plus 17. That's as in they win by 17.
All right.
That's my hope.
Man, I actually hope Tonga win because I would love to see a Tonga versus Samoa final in Parramatta.
Man, we need redemption, man. Can you imagine?
Well, last year,
Parramatta Stadium.
We seen the Red Sea. Now, imagine having the Red Sea and the Blue Sea in Parramatta. They wouldn't be able to fit everyone. So,
no, they wouldn't. And we're going to run out to Versace on the floor too. That's going to be pumping.
Actually, you know what else? I know the Kiwis are still burning for last year in the finals when Australia played Tonga and Tonga brought the Red Sea. The stadium was packed. You could not see an empty seat. But New Zealand... played PNG Kumuls after this game.
There was 4,000 people.
When the full-time whistle went, all the Tongans left, and then there was only 4,000 people left in
went
the stadium.
Went from 20-something thousand down to 4,000. But do you know what? The Kiwis shouldn't be dirty because they've got an opportunity for their home crowd to really show up for them, but I think it's going to be a sea of red again in New Zealand.
Like, I reckon it's a sea of red.
It'll be a sea of red. So
I reckon the red will be more dominant than the blue 2 weeks ago that played
absolutely.
Last week.
But anyway, what were we choosing here again? We went off track.
I'm going Kiwis, you're going Tonga?
Yep.
Head to head?
Head to head.
Kiwi, Ferns, Gillaroos. I'll take Australia plus 24.
As in minus 24?
Minus 24.
Minus 24. I'll take those odds. I reckon it's going to be a little bit closer.
You reckon?
Yeah, nah. But I'll like those ones for that.
And I reckon Tonga are going to win by 30. But I can't pick Tonga. You have to pick Tonga.
I'll pick Tonga then.
What's your score?
I'll let you choose what you want because obviously it's for the PNG Orchids, it's been a tough sort of campaign. But yeah.
I think 30 would be. I'll go 20. Oh, we'll go. I went 24. We'll go 24 again then.
24 again?
I reckon you'll get that one.
All right, I'm happy with those. I'm happy with that.
I actually wrote 30 here, so 24.
I'm happy with that scoreline. Perfect, T. Perfect. It's good to have you back.
Yeah, that's us done for Nijin Footy Fridays. And tell your Pacifica mates about our Monday and Friday shows. We've only got a couple Friday shows, by the way. And subscribe to the podcast. Just search for Nijin Footy wherever you get your podcasts.
Ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.